bonus.
Wrestle me, Pete!
Wrestle me, Christmas, Mark. Bonus.
Bonus. Welcome to Wrestle Memus, everybody. I think this is day four or day five.
Oh, I have not got that far, Mark.
Well,
come on,
you
now.
Can tell.
Google's
by...
gone down because we have. I've emailed all of this information to myself.
Yep.
But Google went down, so we fucked.
Yeah.
So we fuck now.
There is that thing of we are supposed to be watching the matches before we talk about them, but we do just tend to just look on Google and imagine what they're like. We've got a match today, which is a match that I think last year, Mecha Shote, who is Eddie and his brother, they run a brilliant sort of a wrestling t-shirt company. Mm. And they are two of the nicest guys you'll ever meet. And Eddie... whenever I sort of say, what match should we do? There's usually a reply from Mecha Shote on Twitter that will say, we'll see.
We'll see.
Just like that. Now, whenever I've seen it, I've been like, oh yeah, I remember that. It was a crap match, you know, and he wants us to do it because it's silly.
Yeah.
Having watched it, no, I realise, and I should have realised this because Eddie knows his wrestling. He chose it because it is an absolute underrated classic by a group of people who you wouldn't have thought would have put on a match that was going to be anything like this good.
Yeah.
What did you think? Because you've come to it completely cold.
Well, look, I think whenever you have three people in a commentary position that are tiny versions of the actual commentary position, WBL. Little Jerry King Lawler or some bollocks. Micro Call.
Now,
that ticks a lot. Box.
It does.
I've said it before.
They change their names because there is one thing about the commentators, and the commentators are not pro commentators, and they are legitimately bad. And the real commentary team make a lot of hay with that. They're really like, this is hilarious. They're the worst.
Yeah.
But the commentary team, they do not even get their names right. So I think when they ask him what his name is, the first one, they say, what's your name? And he goes, Michael Cole. And they go, Micro Cole. Okay. There's Jerry the Mini King Lawler.
Right.
Who later in the match they refer to as Jerry the King Smaller. So he obviously forgot that entirely. And the other one is WBL. Again, J
does not sound like we.
It should be JWL.
Yes, yeah, B-Wee. That works, yeah, J-W-E-L.
But they didn't even want him to be called that, because later on they refer to him as JB-Elf. So... the three
decide
guys
on one, you can't just change it halfway through.
But the three guys have obviously just gone into business in themselves. The first one says Michael Cole, totally wrong. The second one says Jerry the Little King Lawler.
Yes.
What are you doing? We had a writer work on this. And then, of course, you know, WBL. And it's like, oh, no.
But
it's WLC.
So you've got the comedy team, three of them, JBL, Michael Cole, and I'm doing this now. You know, and then you've got the smaller versions,
who
are men with dwarfism. And, it's just beautifully put together, this whole thing, from start to finish.
This is the WLC match. So this is between Hornswoggle and El Torito.
Yeah.
And it took place at Extreme Rules 2014. That was the kickoff show.
Right.
They had this match on there. And this is following WrestleMania 30, just to put it in. It's difficult when you say Extreme Rules 2014 and the year. You don't know what it is.
Yeah.
But this is post Daniel Bryan's great WrestleMania. Mm. He's in his first main event post WrestleMania, and this is the kickoff show. And this is actually regarded as being an official TLC match.
Right.
There's been 26 in WWE history, and this is on the list. What I love the most about this is it was a joke. It's a big joke. You get two guys, you call it WLC, there's little ladders, there's all this, you know, little commentators and everything. But the two men involved, who are El Torito and Hornswoggle, they didn't want it to be a joke, and they won. So what they put on is a match that everyone was like, it's a throwaway, dumb bit of comedy. And the commentators keep that going through the commentary. So you've got the if you like, the full-size commentators are still commentating while the smaller guys are doing it. And all they're doing is they are basically going, we know this is going to be an absolute shitfest, so we'll just amuse ourselves.
Yeah.
And they keep doing that even when the match
becomes
amazing. The crowd are chanting, this is awesome, at points. And I know that's an overused sort of chant. But for it for you to get a this is awesome in the middle of this match and not have the commentators react to it and go, this has blown away all expectations. But to still be there going, at one point they say something like, you know, unbelievably, this show is trending worldwide. You know, take it. It's done well.
Yeah. On it.
We'll talk quickly about the backgrounds of the two guys in it. Mm. So you have El Torito. That is the Spanish for the little bull. He was a wrestler called Mascarita Dorada, which is little golden mask in Spanish. He's 4'5", and he's what's referred to as a mini. So Mexico has a very, very much richer history of using people of diminutive stature as legitimate athletes. Mm. It doesn't actually go back as far as you'd imagine. You'd slightly imagine they've been doing that since the dawn of wrestling. Mm. But what they have is what they're called mini estrellas, which is Spanish for mini stars. And those are not just wrestlers who have dwarfism. Mm. That is also for short wrestlers. So they have a sort of a group of people. Anyone who's under 5 foot is classed as a super estrella or a mini estrella. In the early years, they were also called micro luchador.
Oh, I like it.
Micro wrestlers. And they basically, the American wrestling history had always used midget performers, as they would have been termed back then, as comedy breaks. And they were also sort of there really to get the kids in. They were the sort of guys who the kids would be like, you know, this is an amazing thing. Mm. I am seeing elves, you know, perform. And in the 70s, the Mexican promoters began realizing, oh, well, the Americans do that. Let's nick that concept. And what they used them was a sort of special attraction. In the early days, there were these small wrestlers. There was Gran Nicolai, Pequeno Goliath, and my favorite one is Arturito, who was dressed as R2-D2 from Star Wars. Really popular.
How rigid was his kind of setup?
Like, I don't think it was. I think it was a costume that was done. I have not seen any of R2-E2's work. And R2-E2. I just love it. Again, it's that Mexican thing about copyright.
Yeah.
Copyright is the start of a negotiation. You know? We'll put him out there.
We'll stop doing it at some point.
Yeah.
Once it started losing money for us.
But look how absolutely delightful it is.
Yes, exactly. We're going places you wouldn't dare to tread.
In the early 1990s, CMLL, I find it difficult to say CMLL. I blur the L's at the end, and then it sounds like I'm making a mistake even when I'm getting it right. But it's Mexico's oldest wrestling promotion. In the early 90s, they actually created a division of mini estrellas, and that was really the first time it was anything but a sort of like novelty match in the middle of a card. It was created by a guy called Antonio Peña, who is very much the Vince McMahon of CMLL. He's passed away since. And he used this as well, where he sort of went, we could use this, where they aren't just their own characters, but they could be miniature versions of our big stars. So it's right, like a sort of, I don't know.
Like an action figure.
It's Funko Pops.
Penna
invents moving Funko Pops. Originally they had a limit of 5 feet tall. But that has been changed over recent years. There have been people as tall as 5'2.5" who have taken part in
Giants.
The...
Giants. I bet they're like the El Gigante.
They're like Big Show. Yeah. A mini Big Show would be good if it was only a bit shorter than the shortest big wrestler.
Yeah, exactly.
In 1992, they actually launched their own championship belt. And that was seen as being really the moment that the miniature performers go from being a novelty to being an actual sort of, you know, athletic endeavor. For many years, they actually are. I mean, some of them, the mini estrellas are amazing athletes. They are incredible performers. So they would do all of the things that the bigger wrestlers were doing, except they would do it on a scaled down version. Yeah. So instead of going to the top rope, they go to the second rope. You know? They would do a dive over the ropes, but they'd go through the middle rope, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And it is just remarkable. You know, you see these performers who are just doing everything that someone who is of, you know, if you like, a scaled up size can do. In 1997, AAA, which was the other big federation in Mexico, they signed a working arrangement with the WWF. And the WWF specifically did that because they were interested in mini estrellas. They were sort of fascinating and sort of, you know, a novelty to some degree. And a lot of the big mini estrellas of the time, Mascarita Sagrada, La Paquita, they came over to WWF. And some of them were given the Mexican gimmick of being miniature versions of the bigger stars.
Right.
So during that time in 1997, there was a mini Goldust and a mini Vader. There was
also
a mini Mankind.
A mini Mankind and a mini Vader.
Yep. So they would have their matches. And it was almost like a sort of, you know, they weren't going around with those wrestlers.
Yeah.
But it was almost like that thing of sort of going, here is a sort of cartoon version of our terrifying main event.
Yeah.
Really sort of interesting way. It stopped in 1999. And the WWE did actually bring them back in 2005. That was a very short-lived section on SmackDown where it is because you are waiting, I suppose, to see the traditional small people's wrestling match. Mm-hmm. And these guys from Mexico would come out and they would give you a remarkable athletic display.
Yeah.
What you have here is you have Mascarita Dorada is now working with Los Matadors, and he's playing El Torito, the little bull, who is their mascot. He did actually appear in he signed in 2013, and he appeared in the 2014 Royal Rumble. He was a surprise entrant.
Right.
He eliminated Fandango and was eliminated.
Fandango's getting it.
He was eliminated in turn by Roman Reigns. Another reason to hate him.
Roman Reigns. Yeah. Good Lord.
And what you've got on the other side of this match is Hornswoggle. Mm. And Hornswoggle is more of a traditional, diminutive
comedic
American performer.
Yeah.
He is very much a comedy character. Mm. He spent, before he came to WWE, 2 years in the independents. He was in NWA Wisconsin, where he billed himself as the world's sexiest midget short stack. And he signed with the WWE in 2006. He had a decade-long career, which is a really sort of impressive amount of time for someone who is never, ever going to be in the main event.
Yeah.
He came in first as Little Bastard.
Oh, that would have been a fun character. Yeah. Little Bastard.
He was Fit Finlay's leprechaun.
Right, okay. Little Bastard.
Later revealed to be Finlay's son.
That's right, yes.
And they renamed him Hornswoggle. In 2007, he won the Cruiserweight Championship from Jamie Noble, at a time when they'd sort of lost interest in the Cruiserweight Championship. He was later revealed as being Vince McMahon's illegitimate son. Mm. Vince would go on to show some tough love by matching him up against the great Carly. That is definitely a match we're going to be doing in a future WrestleMemus. Hornswoggle versus Carly. And in 2010 was revealed as the anonymous Raw general manager a few times. But at this point in 2014, he turned heel and he'd aligned with a three-man band who were a group of lower-level performers who I think WWE had great hopes for. And then they pretty much just abandoned those hopes. Drew McIntyre, Jinder Mahal, and Heath Slater.
Right.
Those guys would go on in a couple of years to two of them be WWE champions. At this point, they are very much an afterthought. So what you've got here is you've got a group of people who are, in El Torito, someone who is, you know, the top of his game in a very niche part of wrestling. And you've got Hornswoggle and the three-man band, who are an afterthought. Mm. And what they've done is, finally, they've got someone in to face Hornswoggle. Really unusually, when you have a character that gets over, who is a minority. So, for example, women. Mm. In WWE, in the 90s, they had one woman performer that they liked, and that was Alundra Blaze, formerly known as Medusa. And they didn't have anyone else. So what they'd have to do is they'd have to bring in one performer, and she'd have a program with them, beat them, and then when that person left, they'd get another one in.
Yeah.
And they'd never really done that for Hornswoggle until we get El Torito. I think this year was the year that Hornswoggle had starred in Leprechaun Origins as well.
Oh, the Leprechaun film from the Leprechaun horror film.
I think
right,
famous because I think Jennifer Aniston was in the first one.
That
pre-fame.
That's true.
But he was obviously at that point where I suppose you're beginning to think they're not really using me in the ring. They don't see me as I've done all of these things. Tick tock. And he, I'd never really asked, I don't think, to have anyone of a similar stature to come in.
Yeah.
They did tell him when they got El Torito in. There's a shoot interview he gave where he said,
Almost just drinking. He's drinking a glass of wine.
He said, when Torito came in, I was just distraught. I was beyond depressed. It was also like I was the fattest Dylan ever. His real name is Dylan. Mm. I was 178 pounds, dipping bread in ranch dressing in catering. I wasn't being used on TV. I didn't give a damn. El Torito gets called up to TV while I wasn't being used on TV. I'm even more depressed. I'm pitching to work with him because I think that makes sense. Everyone's expecting that, they said. Finally, I did get told by talent relations they're worried about my weight. I go on a crazy diet and I end up losing 25 pounds. After I've done that, Road Dogg called me 1 week and said, "You're getting your wish. It's you and Torito." This match is pretty much the biggest match of diminutive stature performers that's happened in WWE for the last 20 years. Mm. And Hornswoggle took it very, very seriously. He said, "We got to WLC and we were told it needed to be gimmicky and ha-ha, but we could do whatever.
Right.
And we did. Our goal that night was to play people away, and we surprised everyone. At one point, Drew McIntyre does a flip over the ropes to the outside and through a table for no reason. Everyone had the mindset of, screw it, let's blow them away. And they really do. This match is short. I'm JBL, and that's the sum content of my of what I bring to this match. It's short, but it is absolutely, there is not a wasted second in it.
No.
And there are some absolutely brilliant, brilliant bumps.
And the thing about the decision between, obviously they've both got restricted height, but El Torito has got that proportional dwarfism where his legs and arms are in proportion, in ratio. So he can fucking move nobody's
quick
business.
He has got,
it's like watching a child do it. And it's like, fucking hell, where are the kids? Let that fuck out! Ah, he's on me!
He has got exactly the same body shape and proportion as my toddler. And she moves fast, but she doesn't move as confidently as Torito. Now, Torito, the other wonderful thing about him is, as a masked wrestler in Mexico, he's never been unmasked. Mm. His identity remains a closely guarded secret.
Well, until today, Mark. I'm only 5'8". I'm wearing lifts.
He is just, in this match, they also have a ring commentator. Mm. And in a weird way, the WWE, while they're sort of going, this is stupid, they've actually done it quite well in that everything is going, this is another world that you have entered. Mm. What you get with the commissioner, the ring announcer, he is absolutely, objectively, one of the worst people to do that job. He cannot get anything right. He has such a limited amount of things to do. He starts off by calling it the WLCC match, which is an extra C. And then he introduces Hornwoggle.
Hornwoggle, come on.
I know Hornswoggle's not like a big name that everyone's like, yeah, how could you get that wrong?
It's
been told it beforehand. You know, he should get that right. El Torito comes out and he just, they bring him out between the capes of Los Matadors. Mm. And when he runs down, he jumps into the ring and everything. He just does this rope work where he's sort of bouncing, flipping over the ropes. And then he goes up the turnbuckle and everything. Yeah. And it's just
absolutely chilling.
If he was full size, you'd be like, oh, you're Spider-Man. Yeah. That's definitely Spider-Man.
It's the sort of thing that he looks like he's sticking off everything.
Yeah, if he was 6 foot tall, he would be the biggest star in the entire industry, without a shadow of a doubt. This is Hornswoggle's rock period as well, where he's with three-man band. And that, again, is a sort of, it's a good sort of thing of not just going, my gimmick is that I am small. Mm. You know, he's like, no, I'm a rock sort of, a roadie?
Rock man.
It's a sort of quite difficult to work out what it is. They also have a small ref, which, attention to detail, oddly, I don't think they thought this will make it better, but it really does.
Yeah.
It just looks like people have taken care over it. Mm. The crowd are the best thing about this, because the crowd are into it, and the crowd don't treat it, they don't laugh at it. And they aren't patronising it. They're just going, these two guys are going out there and they are leaving nothing behind. It's so good. Torito is just incredible. He does a dive onto three-man band, and it's just, I mean, it's impossible not to go, that is more impressive than seeing someone of full height do it.
Yeah.
You know? It's so much more complex to actually do.
It's just so, the way that he leaps and jumps and stuff, he looks like he's not quite as bound to gravity as everyone else, because he can throw himself further, he's quicker, he just seems more free than everyone else. He's not betrothed to the fucking gravity.
Before he was Mascarita Sagrada, he worked under the name Speedy Gonzalez.
Mm.
And there is something about that he is like the mouse Speedy Gonzalez, just blur, absolute blurring around. The speed of this match is one of the things that is really sort of, you know, sticks out.
Yeah.
It's faster paced than most matches of 2014 in WWE. What's really, I loved as well, is that Hornswoggle actually goes in and he does, if you like, the traditional American sort of dwarf wrestling, where he does a kick and he misses and he kicks himself in the forehead, which is something that a regular performer cannot do. When Hornswoggle's leg is straight out and he's bent down, he can kick his own forehead.
Yeah.
And there's little bits like that that you go, he would have known this, but that is a move that's been happening in his particular branch of wrestling for a century.
Yeah.
And paying tribute in a way to all of that sort of stuff that goes, you know, ahead. Mm. So he cannot do what Torito does. So what he does is he does what Hornswoggle does. And there's a little bit, he grabs Torito's tail And he, Torito starts running and Hornswoggle cannot let go of the tail. He's sort of just, you know, those bits you would have seen in America in the 30s and the 40s, you know, that history in that. I said this on a previous episode that we've recorded. It might be going out after this, the way that we've done it. But that sense of wrestlers being receptacles for centuries of wrestling lore and gimmicks and knowledge. Mm. And you can see it there, worn so lightly in Hornswoggle's performance. He obviously is going out as well and going, this is a special match because I don't get to do this very often with people of my height. And so he's gone out and I can imagine him going, I'm going to watch old matches featuring performers of limited stature and I'm going to take the best bits. And it's like a celebration of a strand of wrestling that is not ever celebrated and is not taken seriously, largely because until we have the Mexicans coming along in the 90s, it has been pretty one note. I love the fact that in this match, which is the culmination of it, on the biggest stage of them all, which is WWE, internationally seen, Hornswoggle is throwing those little bits in. I think that's a real sort of, it just makes me proud. He might just do it because someone said, you know, hey kid, kick yourself in the head. Yeah, I just love it. The other thing to mention as well is how three-man band works so hard here.
Mm.
They are three performers. They know they're struggling. They're probably worried every time that there's a release of talent. And what they do in this match is they don't go in and go, this is beneath me. Mm. They go in and go, we're going to get this over as much as we can. And they take some insane bumps.
Mm.
Heath Slater gets a miniature chair shot in the nuts and then goes through a miniature table. There is one bit where the Matadors get Jinder Mahal up on their shoulders where they're on the ring apron. And Torito comes over a ladder with a crossbody onto Jinder Mahal and they go down through tables and ladders. And it is, when I was watching it the first time, I properly punched the air with it. I'm like, yes! That looked incredible. Just lovely touches. Hornswoggle brings out a tiny little ladder and the crowd obviously pop and he just shakes his head, no. And he goes back under the ring and he brings out a slightly bigger small ladder. You know, lots of good sort of, you know, beautifully sort of thought out little bits. And they've got miniature chairs as well, which I thought, well, that's all
yeah,
right.
Really, I want them.
Where'd you get them? They look really good.
Where'd you get them, fella?
They'd be a nice thing to, if you wanted to, like, you know, wrestle yourself, but you wanted an audience of cats or capuchin monkeys.
Yeah.
That would definitely be the chair that you
need.
Oh,
I would love to see a couple of capuchin monkeys in a little miniature reproduction of a WWE.
I know a guy in Norwich. Any animals you want to see fight, he can do it. And any combo. I just, you know, there's one great line as well done by the commentators where they talk about the WWE Network. And at the time, that was something you heard every three fucking seconds.
Yeah.
$9.99 WWE Network. And one of the commentators says, how much is the WWE Network? And the other one goes, well, we get it for half price. It's $4.48. And the full-size commentators, like jocks, are really good. Yeah, that's all right, that one. That's quite fun. There's also a load of bit where they gripe about their own jobs through the prism of the other commentators. So the other commentators, they're sort of talking about it. You see a Michael Cole just going, oh, this is like Raw. They're not calling the action. And it's, someone's
spicy.
Been told off. Yeah, and somehow this show is trending. I mean, that's the bit that really gets me, where you sort of, the ugly thing about this match is the full-size commentators who are just, this is a shit pit. This is so crap.
Yeah.
And they totally misread the room. Compared those three with three-man band, you know, three-man band of professionals and all of those commentators.
They're hacks.
They're just bitter, jaded, tired, stupid old men. It ends with Torito bouncing off the rope and giving a sitting senton to Hornswoggle, who goes through a mini table. It 100% is everything that good pro wrestling is.
Yeah.
It's fun without being, you know, silly. The two guys in it, it matters to them a lot.
Mm.
And you can see that it matters to them a lot. And they want to work hard to make this work. You can see that the people around the ring have so much respect for them that they are going to put their own bodies through tables in a non-comic way to get these guys over.
Mm.
And everyone working together, you know, and what you get, of course, is you get the commentators who represent, if you like, The Office.
Yeah.
And The Office are just like,
yeah.
And I watched this match. It is as fun a match I've seen in ages. It's absolutely 100% at its heart what pro wrestling is supposed to be. Mm. It's supposed to be athletic. It's supposed to be entertaining. It's supposed to be something you cannot see anywhere else outside of wrestling. And that match ticks every single one of those boxes. Afterwards, Hornswoggle talked about the match. And again, it's so easy to sort of see Hornswoggle, because he is just this comedy character and he's running around doing stupid stuff. It's sometimes hard to sort of think, yes, he is both an athlete and a television performer and an actor and all of those things. He said, people expected it to be us biting each other's arses on top of ladders. Instead, we beat the piss out of each other and ourselves. It was a lot of moving parts, man. Everyone was so excited. Everyone involved was so excited. Between the agents and all the guys involved, we were so excited for everything. And I remember getting to the back and I didn't get ungeared for like 2 hours. I was like, this is so awesome. It was easily my only standing ovation in the gorilla position, even from Vince McMahon, which made me feel really good about myself. It was awesome. That's the one where if someone asks what I do, I give them that. I've only watched it once. It's only one of the three matches in my career I've ever watched back. I never watch any more than that. I don't watch my stuff. A great moment for all concerned. Torito would later beat Hornswoggle again in the Mask versus Hair rematch that they had at WWE.
So he was next scene getting shaved, presumably.
He was, yeah. Again, you know, part of the, if you like, the history of wrestling, you know, you give the two guys the mask versus hair match. You know, I mean, I had nothing but fun watching this match. I would say, out of everything that we've watched for WrestleMemus, that would be the match that I would say, if you fancy watching just one, watch that one.
Yes, I think that's really good. What's happening? So where is El Torito? Hornswoggle is presumably still with the company, but where is El Torito?
Both have left.
Yep. Oh, they both left?
Yep, they've gone. Torito is back in Mexico, I believe, as Mascarita Sagrada.
Right, okay.
Where he is still performing. Mm. He was born in 82, debuted in 2000.
Right.
So he is probably 20 years into a career now. Mm. So I imagine, you know, tick-tock.
Yeah.
Poor.
Born in 81, just saying.
Wouldn't it be good if it turned out you had a pair of like wooden like leg splints? And this is a really convoluted way of hiding your natural identity, man.
Oh, lovely old job. Well, this has been, I did actually write down what day this was and then I lost it again, so well done me. I think this is the 22nd. So coming up, a special Christmas episode. I think you're all going to enjoy.
It's entitled, we won't give too much away, but it's entitled A Kendo for Christmas. Wrestle me, Pete!
This was a Stakhanov production.